You're listening to Triple Radio on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Anyways, let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Welcome to Extra. Who?
No.
What?
Who?
Time tunnel.
Welcome to Fat Gatsby's Triple Radio for June the 1st, 2015.
Oh, sure.
It's June tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh,
it's tomorrow.
Okay,
tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes, well, you know, when today. As of this posting.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is June, and May is over with.
Fucking A. Just going on the record.
Fucking A. See you later, May.
Yeah, how was your 2 week vacation of May?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, fuck that month.
Fuck that, May.
Yeah, this is Tim. Ben's here. Hey. Weiss is here.
Hey.
And Dave's here.
Hello.
Hello.
Poland.
Yes. Yeah. Hi. So it's been a busy month.
Yeah, boy. The month of May.
What happened in May? Oh, what was busy about May?
So, Tim.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
You have a third human being living with you now.
Yep, yep.
You just happened to drop in.
Is he paying rent yet?
No.
You haven't put that kid to work yet.
Freeloader.
I try. Sometimes I get him to hold his bottle on his own. And then,
wow.
Like,
it's not bad. That's do that with Steve.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great. You can hold this for a second while I do something else with my other hand.
Have you tried doing Edward bottle hands with him yet?
Edward bottle hands.
Just go. He do it. Get just the duct tape.
Give him two strap two twos to his hands, two ounces, and he'll take care of it for you.
Nice. Now, do you have a way to wear him?
I have multiple ways to wear him, but I generally just carry him around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a backpack?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I'm not going to put on the baby Bjorn to carry him around in the house. Mm-hmm. That just seems a little silly.
Are you doing the leash?
No, he can't. I mean, I could put a leash on him, but he can't really go anywhere yet.
You know, those stupid things in the mall that look like a grown-up sticky hand.
Yeah.
No, Jules had a leash for a summertime when she was one. The summer when she was one, she needed a leash. We did not buy her a leash. It was given to us. We were grateful for the gift, as it turns out. We thought it was weird, but as it turned out, using it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think like at that stage, like as soon as they start walking or, you know, right.
You're like, stop walking.
Yeah.
Stop doing new things.
We want you to progress at our own.
There's like a level. There's a point at which you have to keep them under control before they will possibly understand you. Telling them to stop it.
Right.
Not yet, though. He's still a little slug. Little metal slug.
Yeah. He'll crawl around on my chest a little bit, throw himself around, and
you know,
then his head will go one way, and he'll like almost fall off. Cause
he's a saucy little boy.
Is, top heavy.
He likes to grab onto, you know, my shirt collar, pull himself around. He's a hoot. Yeah. I've had a kid for 3 weeks now.
Making any faces sticking out his tongue at you?
He makes faces. He doesn't really stick out his tongue.
Does he have a tongue? Have you checked?
Oh.
You know, I haven't really looked in there. I assume so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine that you treat a child much like a horse, open the mouth, look at the inside.
Well, I think they would have said something at the hospital if he didn't have a tongue in there.
Well,
one
that's
way,
true.
One way.
You're putting a lot of...
Yeah, well, now I'm going to have to go downstairs and look in his mouth.
I know.
How are you guys mental health-wise? Like, insofar as you are willing to discuss on a podcast.
I'm ready to kill myself.
Oh, boy. Because there were times.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
How's Lauren?
Lauren's also fine for the most part. I mean, like, the first week, or the first few days, I guess I should say, were, like, the worst, you know, when you're trying to acclimate the child to eating.
Oh, so he's eating now.
Yeah, well, he was eating, you know, within 3 days after he was born, but, like... It was kind of a slow road to hoe, and then all of a sudden he starts eating like crazy. Now he just eats fucking way too much.
Good man.
I don't think you can eat too much when you're that age.
No, you cannot.
He eats a lot.
There was I just read about some Australian food guru who like wrote a book in which he like had a recipe for like an all natural what he claimed, you know, was like an all natural baby formula, and like it had way too few calories and could potentially be life threatening to a child if they don't consume enough calories.
It was right around when he was born that there was that story floating around about the couple that killed their child by cutting the breast milk with water.
Yeah.
Oh God, really?
Yeah. That was sad.
What, she wasn't producing enough?
No, they didn't have enough money. I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, she wasn't producing enough, and the dude had some kind of a problem doing formula.
Well,
like there was no formula involved in that particular thing.
Well, I thought that it was that they didn't have enough money to buy the formula or something.
Well, I thought it was that too, but I've seen other reports that like the dude was like against formula because of some wacky religious thing.
Not against water.
Either way, that child died, and mine's.
You guys, wacky religious things have never harmed any child ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Especially if you're on a reality show.
It's like people that try to give cats a vegan diet, and they're like, "No, cats eat meat." Like, and then you kill a cat because it needs to eat meat.
Your morals, not the cat's morals.
Yeah.
I don't think that baby gave a shit about your religion.
Well, we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll
Dickie
never know.
Is highly pious.
Highly pious.
Big cat.
Yeah, like, I mean, very quickly, his demand outstripped the supply, and it was just like, well, we just have to start supplementing with formula or else.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just had to. It's just like. Ridiculous.
Was lucky that at first formula companies pretty much flood you with coupons because that shit is expensive. They lock it up with the cigarettes in the front of the store.
I did. But
just hit me what you said.
Quickly we kind of got into this routine where Lauren goes to bed early and I stay up late, and then she wakes up in the middle of the night and we kind of hand off. So it's like, yeah, like right now she goes to bed around 6 or 7, depending. And then
I know she's going to be up at some point to feed.
Yeah, well, like what I try to do is like make his ass fall asleep sometime around like 11, and then I'll take like a nap. And then the next time he wakes up is when I wake Lauren up. So at like 1 in the morning or something like that. And then that's where the handoff happens.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's what we did my first 4 days back at work. And it seemed fine for the most part.
Yeah.
A little rough. But, you know, I mean, but like while I wasn't working, I'd stay up till like 3-4 in the fucking morning. And who cares? Whatever. You know,
well, have you had any nights where he's just constantly just wailing and you're just like, child, why do you not sleep? Please, child, why? Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, now it's not, it's just sometimes he just has his moments where like, the annoying thing right now is he doesn't sleep nearly enough as it seems like he
needs to.
Yeah. Like he's staying up for long strips of time and then taking like an hour nap. And he only really likes to he'll only really sleep for a long period of time if we're like driving around doing errands.
I bet it's stress.
He's on my or if he is like on us, like sleeping on our chest, then he'll sleep for a while.
It sounds like he's preparing for MAGFest.
So it's like, I'll have to prop him on my chest and kind of lean back in my computer chair, and then I can play The Witcher, and that's fine.
Yeah. Does he sleep with you? You guys co-sleep?
Yeah. For the most part, pretty much, because like...
We did too. Like, Julia did not sleep in her own bed for like the first 9 months.
Yeah. Well it's like once you try to set him down, he won't stay asleep generally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if you actually want him to stay asleep for a while, you have to have him with you or else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the way it goes.
You fence him off in the bed.
Do I what him?
Fence him off in the bed.
No. This is just like sleeping out in the living room.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know people that have the child.
They have like the little corral. Like,
yeah.
But we just figured because we're both huge and the dogs are idiots that wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah, that's true.
So generally, like, you know, we got the little swing down there that we can sometimes get him to sleep on for a little while. Nice. Otherwise, he just kind of sleeps on whoever is up.
Right. Presumably, he's not like sleeping by himself in your bed alone.
Right. Yes. So. No, we're not. Yeah.
You have no need to rope him in.
No, he's not sleeping there. Yeah. He's not sleeping really in his crib. He is just kind of, I mean, like, you can take a cuddle nap. He'll fall asleep on you, and you can fall asleep on the couch, and everything's all good.
Awesome.
But,
because you need it as well.
Sometimes, yeah. And, yeah. And I have these horrible, like, nightmares where when I'm not watching him, I wake up thinking I'm supposed to be watching him and that I lost him somehow.
Oh,
this, me and Lauren both get that. And anyone I talk to, like, who's had kids has the same thing.
That makes
it's the worst.
Sense, yeah.
Like, I woke up last night and I'm, like, half awake, like, looking through the covers in my bed trying to find either the baby or Tess. Because if Tess was there, then I know I was in the bed. But I couldn't find... I couldn't, like, she was in my fucking dirty laundry or some shit, and then eventually I figured out that he was not there, and I was just being crazy. But
fell asleep on the wall, and the others crawled through.
Yeah, that's the horror, is just being afraid. Yeah, right. But nothing like that has happened because, you know, whatever, you fall asleep, he's just there. I don't know.
No ghost flying in, grabbing it in front of Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
What?
Ghostbusters. They made a movie out of that.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen The Ghostbusters. It's a classic.
I forgot about that, actually.
Oh, is that male version of the new movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I took 2 weeks off in May. Was
to watch Ghostbusters.
Was to watch Ghostbusters. And
there are two of them. So
Takes a while.
Yeah, to be there for the 2 weeks of my child's life, then go back to work and be pissed about the lack of family leave in our country.
Right, yeah.
Hey, you're allowed 6 weeks unpaid.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Unpaid. Man, if I was paid for 6 weeks, I would have been off for 6 weeks. Guarantee.
Me too.
Ben, what'd you do for 2 weeks in May?
Well, roughly 2 weeks. I was in California.
Yeah, you might have... followed the trending worldwide hashtag of Bathan. Lathan Nups. Yes. Not to be confused with Lathan Ups,
which is
how I first read it.
Which is how some people were posting.
And that it was...
So you had to kind of search for both to get all the pictures.
For the hell was that?
my brother got married. And,
yeah. No, I mean, was it Twitter or Facebook? Because I missed it.
Both.
Oh, okay.
So,
I didn't see these posts at all.
The ones I did, I put it in there. But at the wedding, they had something written up. And so Josh wanted to be in charge of the social media. So he did
He was a social media manager of his wedding.
So, not an awful lot of people took advantage of doing the Lathan Nups immediately, but I imagine as other people start to develop things that were taken with actual cameras, it may change. Who knows?
Well, maybe it'll pick up now.
The Lathan
Nups
spreading
the word.
Yeah.
From the pictures that I saw, it looked like I had a pretty good time. Wedding was good. Yeah. Trip was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Talk about this podcast with using the hashtag Lathan Nups.
This would be awesome.
Join the conversation.
It will confuse the fuck out of my brother, but he'll love it.
I'm starting a new hashtag, Lathan Nips.
I was just going to say, Lathan Lips also works.
Lips with a capital L looks like a U, L-I.
Uh-huh.
You'd think it's... Anyway.
Best possible outcome. They tied the knot, so that was...
Wow.
Good. Oh, good.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
So the marriage took that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
no complications?
Brother,
no.
They didn't reject... The bodies didn't reject it.
Yeah. The bodies did not reject, to my knowledge.
You didn't check up on them later that night?
No, I did not.
The village did not witness the consummation?
Well, they were live streaming it on Twitch, I believe.
That is against Twitch's terms of service.
Lathan Nips.
Well, they were playing video games. Josh and Cynthia, I'm very sorry.
Hashtag Lathan Nips. And Lathan Nuts. think about this while looking at Tess's face right now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how your ball sack was for those 2 weeks of vacation?
My ball sack was nice and dry because it is not humid as fuck in California. It was, you know, actually it was in the 70s most of the days, but the first day we were there was 86. We left Buffalo as a Buffalo 96, which meant it felt like it was about 200.
Right, yeah.
And my nut sack was down to the ground. And we get over there, and it is gorgeous. And it was great the entire time, except for the lack of rain, because they are in a severe drought.
Yeah.
I mean, the trade-off is that it's not humid, so...
Right, I was going to say, did the drought affect, like, you at all? Could you...
So, the place that we stayed had a little note that said, you know, due
please
to the drought,
rain.
please consider taking a shorter shower.
But a short shower apparently to California means 5 minutes or less. I'm like, I'm in and out of there in, you know, a matter of 3 minutes probably. So, but the all the restaurants by law are not allowed to just bring water to your table. You have to specifically ask if you want tap water to drink.
Was there bottled water in your hotel room?
We didn't stay in a well. I take that back. We did stay in a hotel. But
we stayed behind a dumpster on the streets.
It was a Holiday Inn that, for the first place.
That's so not really a hotel.
All you had was tap water. We had to ask for a fridge to be brought in. So, you know, it was like a portable one that wasn't stocked like a mini fridge. But we stayed in a rental place in Sacramento. So,
And did they bring you bottled water?
No, they did not. It was, you know, tap water or anything.
What kind of country?
I know. But fucking California is amazing. Sacramento is a great city. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I mean, it was a lot of fun. It's easy to navigate, walk around.
It's your first time to the West Coast?
Mag West coming soon to Sacramento.
Yeah. I wish.
No, it is.
That's to Sacramento?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. What, to the convention center?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's where. I don't know if that's where they're doing it, but I know they're doing it. I believe Sacramento is where they're looking to do it.
Wow. I need to tell Josh that because that would be amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, great city. Easy to move around or walk around in. I Ubered many times.
Whoa.
Did
you tell Cassie?
Yes. She was the one that Ubered first.
Whoa.
I know. She made the first Uber. I did subsequent ones.
Nathan Lips.
No, because my parents don't have smartphones.
Nathan Prenups.
My parents don't have smartphones. So, and we were staying with my parents and my sister, who is living in the Netherlands at the moment, in Amsterdam, and also did not have a smartphone to use.
And is also hot.
Shut up.
No, let's make it clear. Ben Lathan is the least attractive member of his family.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
Like his brother, great looking dude. His dad, very handsome man. His mom, yeah. All of it, all good. Ben, what happened?
So if you look at Ben and you get a semi, just imagine the rest of the family.
Oh my god.
This is an if.
Hashtag Lathan Nups.
Yep.
Oh god.
I'm glad you had a good time.
No, it was great.
See, I like to say demi because it's like half.
Luna, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my she wants to play with the hashtag.
You know, one of the unfortunate side effects of the baby is that the dogs have not been getting enough attention over the course of the past few weeks. Like,
oh, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel bad, but I just sometimes forget that they're there. Like, really? It's like, oh, crap, right, I have to take you guys out and feed you. I'm sorry.
She's probably hot off smelling my in-law's dog also.
Oh, man. I know I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I?
I wish.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that's a concern that we're talking about. If we have kids, that our dog would be like heartbroken because she is the baby right now. Like,
nah, you just have one dog though. We have three. That makes sense.
No, but I mean, you would think that three would be better because you have to divide your attention across three, and they're used to it.
No, I guess.
And you know, dog heartbroken is like one seventh of a human heartbreak. So,
right. This is true.
Puppy love.
Hello, Luna. Hello.
Weiss, did you have a busy May?
No, I was trying to think of what I did. Watched Mad Max twice.
Fuck yeah, Mad Max. Oh,
man. Yeah. I want to see that.
We did a one shot last week.
Yep.
I heard.
The long story short is that it's fucking good, but you probably already knew that because everybody likes it.
Everybody likes it. Everybody talks about it. Not everybody sees it in the theater, apparently, money wise.
Yeah.
Internationally, I'm sure it'll make a killing, but domestically.
I hope it doesn't like leave theaters within the next week or two because
it's probably not
going to
be. I mean, it's already been out for like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, if you're not number one or number two, they vacate pretty quick.
Just see this movie.
This much, and you want to see it in a theater,
theater, yes.
Really,
you want to see it on a big screen. I mean, I went to see it at the drive-in, but I was watching it from a car, so that has kind of own effect on it. But it was a good drive-in movie because it's, for the most part, very bright and outdoors.
Right.
So sometimes.
Did you take the kid?
Yeah.
Nice.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that was his first going out to the movies experience was Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, it's only downhill from here.
I know. Fucking A.
That is something that we always wanted to do when we had a drive-in in our town, but like we just, I don't know. Like I think we couldn't stay up that late.
We only went to see the first movie of the double feature, but it was nice because we could go because I was off. We went in the middle of the week on like a Wednesday, and he slept.
That's great.
Most of the time, he kind of woke up towards the end of the second act and needed some feeding, but it wasn't too much of a problem. We'd already brought him into the front seat at that point.
So Mad Max was the first of the double feature?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's lucky because the drive-in in Auburn would always had not terrible, but usually a family film as the first of the double feature. So you wouldn't be able to get earlier to see the movie we wanted to watch until at least 9 or 10.
Oh. Yeah. How many screens are at the one you
they have
on
four?
Four, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it tends to be when you have that many screens that you can offer more of a choice. But I remember the one that used to be on Harlem before they tore it down was like a two screener, I think.
Three, actually, I think.
Oh, was it three?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That one that's not there.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. That's the fucking medical part. Yeah.
Cancer treatment centers and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen this other drive-in then.
Yeah,
it's way up in Lockport. You're not going to stumble past it.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go up and check that one.
It's nice, though. It has better projectors than the one on Harlem.
Yeah, that was my biggest problem with the Harlem Road.
But usually that one has, like, there's one screen that's like, here's the family movies. And then there's one that's like, here's the more adult movies. And then there's kind of tweener stuff.
That's good. That's a good way to do it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it there. And it's great to go during the week because it's not so fucking busy. Holy shit.
I like that I was on Facebook the other day and I saw a lot of people from back home talking about the drive-in that was closest to me that we went to a bunch. And I'm glad to see that still kicking and doing really well. So because that was a good time. I think everyone needs to still have a drive-in somewhere close to them.
Yeah. I've only gone, I believe, twice ever.
Oh, really?
Like drive-in wise that one that was on Harlem because it was like Silent Hill and that's the one I remember.
It was with like The Hills Have Eyes.
I think we
all went to that.
Wait,
one
no, wasn't that the one
or we saw Mission Impossible,
Mission Impossible.
That's right.
It's a fun group event.
It is. It's fun to go as a group. The one near or the one back home also had like mini golf and a restaurant and stuff.
The one in Transit has a mini golf.
So it was like more of an excursion. Like you could get there early and pay for your ticket early, and then they gave you a discount on like some of the other things.
That's cool.
So,
that's cool.
I mean, it was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, at least you also saw Tomorrowland.
I did. Yeah. Unfortunately. Well,
hey, I don't think that's worth a one shot, apparently.
No. It's not like, it's not a stink fest. It's just, for Brad Bird, it's a stink fest.
Oh, okay. So
it's okay at best. The script is pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
Like, the action scenes are still as good as Brad Bird shoots them. He shoots really good stuff. It's just, Not to be like Lindelof and raise a fist and scream about that guy that wrote, you know, Star Trek Into Darkness and World War Z and Prometheus and Cowboys and Aliens and doesn't have a good track record, kind of thing. But it's that symptom of like just every scene kind of having a hook to get you to the next scene instead of building the characters, which this is the guy that wrote Lost, and that was kind of the thing with Lost. To me, it was like,
what's going on? We have to find out what's going on.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of the use of words like thing and it and like when I wrote...
It's coming. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's coming. Well, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. It's just like, oh, my God. So by the time we got to the end, there were a couple things that could have been emotionally interesting. Like, I feel like with a rewrite, it could have like kind of echoed like those late 70s, early 80s cool live action Disney movies that
like
Witch Mountain is kind of what I was getting. They might have gone for a little heavier, or at least that they were kind of trying for.
And this was to be Disney's big tentpole family film for the summertime.
It was a Memorial Day weekend movie. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's number one.
I was going to say, it's probably doing well.
It's made its money. Like, as a kid, I probably would have been pretty happy with it. And I feel like it's one of those movies you go back to years later and go, oh, it didn't quite. Okay. I see why I liked it as a kid, but not now.
So, Tim, you saw it with him or no?
No, Tim. So did you see it specifically? Or no, I didn't think so.
What I'm wondering is, and we had talked about it a little bit, was because you've never been to Disney World, right?
Yeah, no, I don't get the... I mean, like, those are peppered in. Like, at the intro is basically where they... there's two characters. There's a George Clooney, and then there's the girl, Cassie. So at the beginning, you get to spend time with both of them as kids. And, like, the best part of the movie was that first, like, half-hour kind of thing where you're seeing basically Disneyland through the eyes of Frank as a kid, through George Clooney as a kid in the 1960s. So you get the neo-futurist thing that Tomorrowland is supposed to be.
All right.
And, you know, that's all stumbled upon, and that's done pretty well. Like, you get a lot of, like, his story and his motivation, and then he disappears for, like, half the movie. And you spend time with Casey, which is fine, except things get really expository and really dumbed down. Like, that's kind of a lot of my problem, too, is it... Like, a lot of the dialogue felt insulting, especially after coming off of Mad Max, where they're very good about not holding your hand as we're going from this to that. And, like, on that one shot, I thought it was pretty funny that we were talking about, you know, what every other blockbuster movie does of just like, all right, we're going to have an action scene, then we're going to sit and talk, and we're going to over-explain everything, then we're going to have an action scene. And that's exactly what Tomorrowland did. And I mean, like, there were, like, I would say 4 or 5 big action scenes. And of those, they got progressively less interesting because I was less into the characters. There was one of the most interesting action scene almost felt out of place because it was very Men in Black. Like, it was in a nerd shop when they were trying to learn about where the pin was from. Keegan Michael Key was the guy that ran the shop, and so there was a lot of, you know, guys popping out with guns that could be from this toy store or could not be, and like a lot of, like, you know, sci-fi stuff. So that was interesting in that sense, but it also, like, as I said, it felt kind of out of place,
yeah,
in a way. I really liked the recruiter girl, the other young girl. I don't know how much they show in the trailers. She gave a good performance. George Clooney was there. Like, Ben, I remember you mentioned people saying that he gave, like, a stellar performance. I thought it was a performance. Like, it wasn't bad.
He showed up.
He showed up.
Huh.
Like,
did the thing that George Clooney does.
Yeah. Like, he should have been more of the emotional core, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, the story is more about him than it is the girl.
Because he's a really good actor.
You're right.
And you should let your good actors have those emotional moments.
Like, and he gets the big, like, last emotional moment, of course. I just wish, like, they would have spent more time on it. Hugh Laurie shows up for, like, 5 minutes.
I was going to ask, was this the one that Hugh Laurie was in? But
yeah, he is there. He's at the beginning and he's at the end. At the beginning, he's just a tease. At the end, and that pissed me off because I actually like when they finally reveal the plot and then an action scene and then conclusion, that plot was very interesting. And if they would have spent more time exploring it, like, they kind of drop what the theme of the movie is at the beginning. And then let it go. And then Hugh Laurie, and then action scene, then conclusion. So
you're saying that this film does not dethrone the current king of Disney rides, coom movies. Of course, I'm talking about Eddie Murphy's The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, The Haunted Mansion. I never saw the first Pirates of the Caribbean, so I don't really have that ride movie that everybody loved, which I want to see it. I just haven't seen it.
This is where it's interesting. So yeah. I've seen most of Eddie Murphy's Haunted Mansion just because, like, I morbid curiosity.
TV.
Basically.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't even know where the fuck I saw it. But anyway,
okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean, they do a couple of shout outs to, like, the ride, if you've ridden the ride, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Eddie Murphy one is more fucking in your face. And it's like there's a lot more things that they're pulling from the ride in there. Mm-hmm. It's like, and they make a story out of it. And that feels forced as opposed to the Pirates one where it's just kind of like little flavor.
Yeah, Tomorrowland.
Where Tomorrowland falls because having what never I've, gone through.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, from what I've read. Like, I know the one thing I knew from, I think it's Tomorrowland does the images in the mirror, correct? Is that Tomorrowland or is that a different ride?
That's a lot of things at Disney, actually.
Oh, okay. Never
like
mind.
The Haunted Mansion does the things in the mirror. Like, at the end, there's a ghost riding with you. Like,
gotcha.
That's the joke.
No, there was. From,
spoiler.
Yeah. From what I read of reviews, like, there was stuff peppered in. I think, like, that stuff was organic enough. Like, it might have been more in my face if I knew it. But
yeah, I'm just wondering, since it's not a single ride with Tomorrowland,
right?
It's a section of the park that,
yeah,
you know, I'm wondering if it would get any of those feelings from people, mm-hmm. especially since Tomorrowland is kind of weird because
mm-hmm.
when I went there originally when I was younger, as like a child, everything was still based around like, this is the, you know,
right,
how the future is going to be according to 1950.
Well, that's and I think that's.
And they've changed a lot of it over
right.
the years, so I'm wondering, like, where, like, still, it looks like mm-hmm. the utopian society is still kind of based around that 50s
right.
style for the most part, but they've added, like, other mm-hmm. Rides and events there that are a little more current.
Like, that's, like, intention-wise, I think they went about it the right way, because that's what the movie's trying to have, that optimistic view of the future that you had in the 60s.
Right.
Like, I read a good paper just talking about how much more interesting Mad Max is by embracing, like, and by sort of have been this time capsule warning since 1980 of the future versus
versus thinking that technology is going to get to a place where everyone's happy with
it's not just technology, it's the scary utopian future that it, and it's about, and that's kind of some things that, like, it's not what I think the movie did worst, but it doesn't acknowledge those scary things that we've moved past. The Brave New World kind of,
like what?
Well, like, by having a utopia, giving up your freedoms kind of thing. By, you know, everything, the way we look at the 1950s of being kind of like, everyone was happy, but there was so much bad stuff being swept under the rug while we were looking the other way.
Right.
Kind of thing, whereas this movie is trying to have the cake and eat it too, whereas it's trying to have the utopia but not trying to acknowledge that there's some negative sides that come with it. I get wanting to have the optimism, but I don't know.
Well, it's also a Disney kids movie, and that's the
I mean, but that's the thing, is Brad Bird has never really, like, talked down to kids. That's why, like, you know, Incredibles and Ratatouille and stuff and Iron Giant has all, like, worked really well. It's like, this was the first time that it felt like there might have been too many hands trying to, you know, dumb down the plot. Like,
Is this his first live action?
Nope, Ghost Protocol.
For Disney?
Disney.
Because I'm just wondering if that's part of it. Like, you know, he established himself as an animator, and are they...
Maybe, but, I mean, he made a ton of money on Ghost Protocol, and, I mean, he's a director that, I mean, like, a lot of the guys we follow, he's an auteur, like, his hands are going to be in everything, and that's another reason I didn't really want to just be like, Lindelof ruined this movie, it's just Lindelof, like, Brad Bird helped co-write this movie, like, what came out is probably what he wanted for the most part. Like, I think even, like, I can't say the same for Age of Ultron. I think, like, Joss Whedon kind of had a lot, like, notably troubles with the studio, and that's kind of why he's not making a third one, I think, at this point. But
and also just being fucking exhausted.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely.
It's a lot of work. Two huge movies of that magnitude.
Yeah.
Your kids will probably like Tomorrowland. It's not an awful thing on the eyes, but I wish it was a much better script. it's not an everyone's going to enjoy this affair for me kind of thing. Unfortunately.
I did see the Academy Award nominated Song of the Sea.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
What is that?
It was one of the best animated nominees.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the Secret of Kells?
Yeah, the Secret of Kells studio. It's their most recent movie.
Huh. Yeah.
Know, it's good. It looks really good. Good music, good story. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Secret of Kells was good. This is good.
Yeah, Box Trolls is on Netflix, so I can
watch that.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I got to watch that.
I watched three quarters of that before Julia Page decided it was boring.
Oh, Julia Page. What? Ugh.
I was telling Weiss that when it came out and all the commercials for it, it did not look like anything that I wanted to see. I was
really
surprised.
Trailers weren't great. No.
Yeah. Well, and that's but I'm just surprised that like it's not something that or that it kind of fell under my radar, I guess. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that Leica name. Right. Was that Leica or was that
Sorry, bud.
It is Leica, right?
Yeah. The Coraline.
Yeah.
And that's I was just going to say I'm not sure I liked it as much as Coraline.
No, I don't like it.
It's a lovely little film.
Right.
I liked it way more than Paranorman.
That's about what I was.
I liked Paranorman. I thought Paranorman was pretty cute.
I thought that was pretty fucking boring.
I thought it was average. It didn't really like. That's the thing. Is like I enjoyed aspects when I was watching, but I couldn't tell you anything right now.
I remember like the Universal monster throwbacks towards the end of the movie with some stuff
that felt like Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, thing, yeah. That's all I remember.
What about Hotel Transylvania 2, guys? You
excited? The first teaser. Okay, you want to talk about trailers? The trailer for that looked great. Oh, I mean, it's Jendy Tartakovsky.
Yeah.
So it's getting his physical comedy in there is such a trick. Well,
it's
like
it's written by what's it, Junk? Who does the vampire voice?
Oh, it's Sandler.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's written by Sandler and somebody else. So.
Yeah. No, I mean. People said as a kid's movie,
it wasn't terrible.
Oh, okay,
but it's just not.
I'm not going to defend it by not seeing it, but, you know, I want Tartakovsky to do more. That the Popeye movie went under, I guess, like that didn't get enough support.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah.
I also saw Hotel Transylvania with Julia Page picked it out, I saw no. If I did not know that it was a Tartakovsky movie, I saw no indication of that. It was an Adam Sandler movie through and through.
Okay.
That's the problem. Like I'd like to support Tartakovsky. That's actually why I watched it, because I knew who animated it. But I'm just like,
Right. No, obviously I didn't run out to see it.
And I also watched the internet darling Kung Fury.
Oh, you did?
I did watch that.
10 minutes in.
How did you not sit down with enough time to watch it? It's only a half hour.
Because I was busy this week.
Oh, it's only a half hour?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have watched it then.
31 minutes,
I'm watching that tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
My problem, the reason that I haven't watched it is I thought it looked purposefully bad in the way that Sharknado does.
I don't think it looks purposely bad. It's supposed to look like it's the 80s.
I think it's supposed to look purposely like bad. Like,
right.
Yeah. In that connotation of the word in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I don't know. The trailer didn't sell me.
Yeah. No, it's funny. There's some people that are losing their shit over it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's warranted. But it's a half hour. It was and obviously the people that kickstarted are fucking happy as shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they did pretty much exactly what they said they were going to do and expand. I mean, some of the stuff that happens in the movie is exactly what was in the trailer. The exact shots of giant Thor popping into that lake or whatever. But
right.
Yeah.
I forgot that was that trailer. Yeah. I shut it off the last time I watched it. Yeah. Okay. Trailer looked like it was trying too hard.
A half hour is a good length for this because if it was longer, it would probably well overstay its welcome. So
like
it's
clear that they want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of appeals to me the most. I think it's from what I've seen so far. It's done well.
Good.
Yeah, well, I really like when I
saw
some of the behind the scenes stuff. That's what was really impressing me because it's like a guy making it with a green screen in his apartment.
Right.
Like the guy who is Kung Fury is the guy who directed it as well. Yeah.
I just also encourage people to go see Danger 5 and Garth Marenghi's Dark Place and other stuff that falls into that kind of category.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely very similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's, and also involves going against Hitler.
Right.
It's really weird. And dinosaur people.
Yeah.
Without any explanation.
Yeah. But I was amused because the movie already has like 8 million views. They put it up on YouTube for free.
It's on YouTube for free. Yeah. I saw it was on Steam for free.
Okay, well, it's for free. Yep. It is out for
under
free.
Under Laser Unicorn, was it? Or
yeah, Laser it? Unicorn is the name of the company that
the
made it. I mean, if you search Kung Fury or look in your Facebook feed, you'll see it.
I just meant so that you watch it from their actual one instead of like the... Because like by the time I was looking for it, like there were about 7 or 8 different people that had posted it up there also.
Okay.
I like to at least go to the the channel that...
generate
they get
the
hit.
Yeah.
But the so it has 8 million views already. However, the music video for the credits song done by David Hasselhoff has 12 million views.
Well, but that's
because
been out
Germany
longer.
Loves David Hasselhoff.
It was out. It was out like 2 months ago.
Oh, that explains why.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't do music for the whole thing.
Oh fuck.
No.
He did like the credits.
Oh, okay.
No, the music for
just
the whole
still
thing
great.
Is very good. Like
I did hear that
music.
Yeah.
It fits very well.
Yeah, it's
like
very...
I think they did their research well as far research.
Yeah,
know? They grew up watching a lot of 80s movies.
Yeah, they did what they wanted to do with this, and it's ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm happy it's free.
Yeah. Yeah. They did good by everything they were going to do with this thing. It's just your level of excitement by it may vary, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and, I did.
Yeah.
I've liked what I've seen.
Yes.
I can only imagine it'll get better. I just met Hacker Man.
No, fucking, yeah, Hacker Man.
Well, it's good to know, because I can definitely carve out a half an hour by myself to watch it, but, like, I'm never alone for, the hour and a half that I would have had to, to watch an entire movie by myself. Right. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those things where I'm just like, okay, an hour and a half for Kung Fury, or an hour and a half for all these movies on Netflix that I've wanted to watch that look way better. Mm-hmm. I could watch Mud. Or I can watch.
Yeah, half hour is a good length for me. 40 minutes, because that's because I watch stuff while I'm feeding the child.
So
watching a lot of Lucha Underground.
Right,
Weiss is watching Lucha Underground now.
Oh yeah, and that's really good.
Oh man, like that.
See, that's the thing is like I want to pay attention too. So like a half hour.
Like. Lucha Underground is like, I mean, this is a crazy thought, but it's like I almost want to start recommending it to people who don't necessarily watch wrestling because the stories, I think, are interesting in that way that, most TV dramas are. And like you want to see what happens next. And,
well,
like,
there's
all these crazy mysteries.
I was thinking I haven't been that interested in like wrestling storylines since like Attitude Era. Like, since we were watching it in, like, high school.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. No, like, I was kind of realizing that right now is about the best that pro wrestling has been in probably 15 years right now. I mean, obviously,
with
there was
NXT
good stuff
and
on the,
WWE.
Yeah, well, obviously, there was all the good stuff on the indies, but then you have, like, NXT and Lucha Underground that are really good. Like, New Japan stuff is more accessible than it's ever been. Ring of Honor is going to be on TV with TNA. They're going to be forming like a block on Wednesday nights, which is going to be weird because Samoa Joe is also in Ring of Honor. might potentially be on opposite NXT. There's like a lot of good stuff out there, but I think people might be able to get into Lucha Underground because of like the characters and the stories and how
it's the easiest
and
one
the quality
to watch,
the quality
sure.
of the wrestling. It's very tight hour-long shows. I really hope
it's also fast and flashy kind of thing too. It's like, you would back in the day, you would tell someone, this is a great match, and you'd be watching a great match, but it might be, a technical match between Kurt Angle, something. And it's just like, no, they're doing this. That's the strategy. But, you can always enjoy somebody doing a shooting star press.
it's crazy. It's just that it needs to be in a more consumable form than it is currently. They need to get it up on demand somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, God, hell, maybe they'll put out a big season box set because it is a season.
Yeah.
Is it on television? How do you watch it now?
It's on the El Rey Network.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can imagine the means that someone who does not have cable might go through to watch a TV show.
Yeah.
It's on Sling TV, actually. Well, Sling TV carries El Rey. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The Spanish language version of the episodes is available on the Lucha Underground website. Just not the English.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, but
they're getting there.
They're working on getting the English stuff up on demand. So hopefully soon. It sounds like the show is really starting to get out there and catch on with people who might not have been watching it before, like myself.
Yeah. No, I am very much enjoying that. And it's a shorter show, so that makes it
Yeah, it's
a lot
only an
easier.
Hour. It's not fucking 3 hours.
Yeah, so 43 minutes without commercials goes by pretty
quick. They don't go to commercial in the middle of matches almost ever.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, it was only during what would have been a pay-per-view, Aztec Warfare.
Oh, Aztec Warfare, yeah.
There were a couple times I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they have to.
Yeah, they did one this week, too, because something happened that warranted
it. Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. That show is just crazy.
Yeah, and hopefully this week I'll be seeing Roar.
Roar.
Yeah, I'm going to see Roar.
God, I keep seeing that. I keep wanting
what?
To go.
Where are you seeing that?
No, on Facebook because it's on
really? People are... Oh, because well, no, Screening Room.
Screening Room, yeah. Yes. And I'm just like, man, I really want to see that.
Yeah, it's only playing Tuesday and Thursday, I think.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not able to.
That's what I'm hoping. Oof. Yeah, that is a 1981 movie made by...
Was it 80s?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was 70s. Yeah. Okay.
No. Well, I mean, it might as well. But, I mean, like, from the family of Melanie Griffith, Tippi Hedren, and Noah Marshall, like, took their entire crew to live with animals for 15 years and made a movie that is... It is, like, a fiction movie. It's not a documentary. But... 70 cast and crew were like horribly like maimed and killed.
Not killed.
There were three that were actually killed. Maimed like seriously.
Like the trailer is like, you know, no animals were harmed. 70 members of the cast and crew were.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about it being an older movie is there's nothing in your brain that's like, this is CG. This is faked somehow. Like, they're riding around in Jeeps with tigers and lions.
Oh, like the way that the actors are reacting to the animals sometimes. Yeah. Just like, holy shit.
Oh, I hope there's a bunch of people in that theater. I just want some screams and groans and.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, well, I am excited. Check out the trailer because it's something else.
Yep.
Is this a movie that was completed back then, or has it just been completed now?
I believe it was completed and just in a basement, basically. I think it was released, technically. It just didn't
get... I don't think it had got large release from the sounds of it.
Yeah, it never had, like, an audience either. It was just a tiny little movie. And, like, you know, in 1981, when you're flooded with, like... A lot, and you know, you couldn't get the movie out there too, so it probably just disappeared in the midnight, kind of thing. So
yeah, that's true. Can't just put it up online,
and that's what's really cool about just like finding old videos now, because I'm pretty sure this was just like they dug it out of the home archives of that family.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's cool.
All right,
yeah.
Anyone playing video games? You guys get through Broken Age Act 2?
Oh yeah,
no.
Whoa, Dave.
I also had a very busy May.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were acting.
I was acting all the entire month of May in a musical at a great theater with a great musical director. And so it
all
was
of which
worth,
shall remain nameless.
All of which the
it's Willard. It's all of Willard.
Dude, did you see what went down at Willard?
Yeah.
Well,
like,
yeah,
okay, so they were going to do so Willard, which people may know from our extract days as the undisclosed location, where we filmed Silent Horror and Resident Horror.
Yeah,
yeah, those two things were filmed there, but Silent Horror in particular, those decrepit buildings,
that porn we never finished,
that
with lions.
Well, we weren't
with the leg,
that. Yeah,
with the
leg. But you know, this abandoned mental institution that we were able to get access to, mental institution, hospital place,
blood,
in the middle of New York. But anyway, some not for profit group was going to do tours.
No, now this is the third year they've done.
This is the third year they're going to do tours, and it was a fucking fiasco because they had to turn people away. It was, like, so poorly organized. Yeah. like tour guides lost their groups. People were just running all around in these abandoned buildings that are not safe.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Some of them, from what
some of them are safe, some of them are not.
The ones that they were touring were the safest.
Oh yeah, but no, the tour. But well, I meant like the tours were going through safe places, but people were getting into places that were not because that it was just not under control.
Right. Huh.
And I guess like the traffic situation was insane because of all these people coming in trying to get in on the tour because they just said like tickets will just be available at the door, no pre-sale, and just like all these people showed up and the organizers were just like, well, we just didn't expect it.
They actually turned people away,
and
people were getting furious by it, and it's like, what fucking entitlement do you have that you think you can show up on just randomly because obviously other people did and somehow that you are the one that will be getting in before anyone else or whatever, you know? Like, it's just, it was so weird, like all
that's
the articles
crazy.
And the people still bitching about it on like the news websites around Rochester and whatnot.
Apparently a lot of people went out to try to get a look around the place.
I mean, I wonder if it's just one of those things where there's so many weird things in that area because there's the abandoned Air Force base and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I wonder if that's just like a lot of people know of it and it's just really piqued their interest over these years.
Well, I like the urban explorers definitely like know for Willard.
And Willard made headlines, you know, whenever it was with that artist that was doing the stuff with the suitcases from all
hear about that.
So they went and they were like in the attics of most of those dorms. They still have all the old suitcases of the people that died there.
Oh wow.
And so they did this whole art installation where they had them had some of the stuff out to just show like, this is what you would have come, because Willard was a last stop mental institution. You were going to die there. And so the people at Willard fully knew like that those attics were never used again. And so they, you know, put the stuff out to show people what you would take with you to one of those things and then never see because they just throw them up in the attic. And then after the installation was done, they did all they could to match those things up with relatives of the people that were there. Like, it was
actually. Yeah.
A friend of mine wrote and produced a one act play based on, as close to an accurate experience of what like a woman who would have been put into a mental institution 100 years ago at Will, you know, because they found these suitcases and like that's basically for the very, very, very old stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all they had historically. You're looking at these suitcases and trying to piece together what were the circumstances of this person's life that brought them here.
Yeah.
You know, because in so many instances it was, you know, not our grasp of mental illness at that time was so you were thrown in there for expressing progressive ideas, you know, not obeying your husband or whatever. So, it's crazy. Crazy shit going on at Willard.
Yeah.
It makes me glad we got to have very intimate tours of that place.
Yeah.
I think I was the only one of them, because Ben, you hadn't even, like, me and I know Willard more from I went there a few times during college.
You guys
Chad
did adventures.
We had adventures. I've got a bunch of pictures.
Because
I was only there the one of the
in the intro of
let's do some mushrooms and go to Willard.
I never really
do what
mushrooms. No. But our wheelchair racing the intro to Paper Pile. That was Chase
running into the mattresses,
right? Because I was there one of the two silent horror shoots.
That's right.
And not the resident horror, of course.
The resident horror, we didn't go into any of the buildings, but
because I was all at the mansion. Whatever you want to call it.
Yep, the house. But
Anyways,
Dave, your play.
So May and like the couple weeks building up to doing this play have been some of the busiest weeks of my life. I'd like humble brag, but I've been kind of just doing a shit ton of voiceover work lately. And that on top of doing this play led to just me.
When was the last time you did a stage show?
2 years ago.
Motherfucker.
Wow.
Yeah. I
knew it had been a while.
Yeah.
It's been way too long. so I was really excited to do it. And
like, how out of shape do you get for doing stage? I imagine it's got to get pretty ugly.
Well, really, I mean, the only ugly thing is that my voice couldn't handle all the singing. And I didn't think about it, but like, when you don't sing professionally, daily, all the time, it's really easy for you to hurt yourself. But it's like being an athlete. Those are muscles that if you don't work them properly, regularly. So I was – so between that and all the voiceover that I had to do, I wrecked my voice several times over the past few weeks. So I've had to be very – I'm glad that we haven't been podcasting because I've had to be very, very careful about taking care of my voice. So it was a musical about the Holocaust.
Oh. All right.
Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's a true story.
true story. Cookie crisp.
It is a true world. The true story of a Holocaust survivor. And it I am
how
glad that I did
done,
this.
How tastefully done, I suppose.
That's
let's
yeah.
Say that
that's,
first.
Okay. It is, you know what, really the only, okay, this was not a good show, and the direct, I have worked with the producer before a few times, and I know that she doesn't always run the most professional ship, and I knew that going in, and I was like, look, I'm in Rochester now, this is, it's going to be an easy commitment, it's only 3 weeks, yeah. I know what I'm getting into. This is when a couple of weeks ago, Robert, our friend of the show, Robert V, declared his hatred of the phrase, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
And I had to counter him with exactly this instance, like, this show, it is what it is. I knew what I was getting, I knew that this is probably not going to be the best show I've ever done, but... for the amount, I only had to go in 5 hours a day, so it was a perfectly fair paycheck for the actual amount of work I was doing. It was not going to be a fully staged show. It was like it's like a staged reading, so I didn't actually have to memorize anything.
Oh, wow.
But it was still like we get an oh, and I the. She hired like a professional director from New York and like all these people with Broadway credits, all these other actors who have been on Broadway and some guy from England who's like apparently a big star on the West End. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be the most professional production I've ever done with this producer. That's great. and like the director, so we had 3 weeks to do it. The whole thing was 3 weeks because it was just a staged reading, four performances at Jiva at the end of these 3 weeks. And like the director did not start blocking the second act until like the final week, like days before we had to go in front of people. It was just he would just fritter and waste his time away on the most minute little details. And like he was doing choreography and I'm just thinking like I was expecting that we were just going to sit in chairs and read from a script. But he wants us like up and like dancing. And I'm like, where are we going to put her? And like everyone in the cast is looking at each other like, what the fuck is going on with this thing? Let's just get through this shit. So it was an is what it is situation. I got to work with like the musical director, the guy that played the piano for us.
Yeah.
He works at Jiva. He's one of the best musical directors I've ever worked with in my life. I got to work with him. I got to be at Jiva. I got to do a play after 2 years.
Yeah.
I got paid fairly for my time. It was a shit show, but I'm glad I did it.
Cool.
In the end. So fun. That took over my entire May.
Wow. Oh man.
Oh, but well. I did watch.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I did get to watch the Kristen Wiig. I remember at the time I thought it was a highly anticipated Kristen Wiig vehicle post SNL, the Skeleton Twins.
Oh, yeah. Bill Hader. I started watching that. Didn't get through it.
This is not a good movie.
Yeah. I was very disappointed.
It is
what
it is.
it is what it like. Okay, Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader, they make it a very watchable. In fact, there's fine, terrific performances.
Yeah,
all four main characters, Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader, play off each other very well. Luke Wilson is great. Ty Burrell, as he Modern Family's Ty Burrell, as he always does, gives a great performance as a closeted gay man. Seems to be put his MO. It was like the movie was written by someone who learned about indie movies by watching indie movies. Like
that's just when that happens.
Every trope, like every like Little Miss Sunshine established trope of, you know, here, oh, our characters are dysfunctional, and here's very, some very obvious and clear reasons why they're dysfunctional, and some just really gut-wrenchingly painful scenes of, like, emotion.
Yeah.
Having to, like, because it's a shame, because Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader are good at this. Like, if anything, it was a good proof of concept that I would watch them, like, acting in earnest. Instead, you know, I was at, when the movie started, I was like, I am not going to be able to take these two people seriously. But they were really good. And I wish I could see, like, a well-written movie with them doing this, because they have a good handle on straddling the line between the funny stuff that they do and just not being, because you only ever see these two being extreme caricatures. That is the sort of characters that they play. And here they just get to be normal people who happen to be very funny people. And surprise, surprise, they're very good at that.
Yeah.
So I would love to see them do something else like that. It's just, good Lord, this wasn't it.
Cassie made a comment when we were watching it that the funny interactions between the two of them really felt like it was just like the director said, okay, we got nothing written. Just do some of your stuff from SNL. And literally that's what it was. Like, I think we watched three different interactions like that before we ended up turning it off. And not because of that, just because we were expecting a different movie and something that was good. And it was neat. But I mean, it was like watching an episode of SNL, like at least the good parts of it. And that was cool, but it just felt like you could be yourselves instead of having to be something that everyone already knows also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that movie.
All right.
Ugh.
Right, yeah, I was asking about video games.
Anyway, video games.
I did bring that up.
Yeah, you brought up Broken Age.
You couldn't play Broken Age because you were
busy. So I could not play Broken Age, but in the past week or so, since that Nintendo Humble Bundle came out, I did get to spend a couple of minutes with a couple of the 3DS games in that amazing bundle that's still going on and that you should totally go and spend $10 on.
Maybe if it wasn't games that I had for years.
Yeah, that's true. Luckily,
I'm still kind of borderline on it just because I'm like, I'd like to have SteamWorld Dig on something else, and I want to play The Fall, and I
The Fall, you know, if I had Wii U,
having Guacamelee on yet something else is
if I had the Wii U, I might, but nothing 3DS wise.
Is that
like
bundle still out there, we said?
Tuesday they're gonna announce the more for the $10
and
that's
that
what
might
I'm
put me over
for.
So I should wait or
no you can buy it now.
Yeah, no, if it,
nothing else, Mighty Switch Force, I think, is...
Yeah, it's almost definitely worth buying for $10 to get those. I mean, I am just glad that Nintendo did a Humble Bundle.
Yeah. I want to support it so they do more.
That bodes very well for the future, and hell, more console bundles, whatever, but Nintendo eShop stuff, like, fuck yes. It just happened to be a lot of stuff that I already either already owned on the eShop or owned on other platforms, owned and had beaten on other platforms, which is part of the problem. Right. If I hadn't finished SteamWorld Dig or Guacamelee, then I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, that's great. I'd love to have it there. But either way, it's almost worth it to buy it anyways. But
I'm hoping for Shovel Knight.
I've been waffling on a portable version of SteamWorld Dig for a long time now. So this finally, it was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just pay the $10 and get SteamWorld Dig. But and thankfully, I did not already have Mighty Switch Force because that game is great. And I've been really wanting to try Olly Olly, and it's
I tried it for PC. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really hard to wrap my brain around.
I'm not sure I have a full grasp on like doing all the tricks and stuff. But honestly, I never really had a full grasp on some of the higher level tricks in Tony Hawk either. This feels like it's funny that Zerum brought up SSX after our PS2 podcast. And I had to tell him, you know what? I actually really like SSX because in a way this kind of feels like SSX because it's all a straight downhill trip. And so you know, it's that kind of combination of like an endless runner, but I mean, it feels like SSX in 2D, I guess.
Maybe that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
When you put it like that.
Right.
I didn't really get into Olly Olly and Bandai. I do not like SSX.
Oh, there you go.
I couldn't get into SSX either. Yeah. I only tried SSX for like a hot minute, but
Olly Olly,
I keep trying. Like every once in a while, I'll pick up and
it's
be like,
simple
okay,
enough that
it's
you know, maybe enough. Things will sort themselves out.
Yeah, I'm glad to have it on 3DS so that I can pick up.
And see, that's the thing. Like, I think I have it for Vita technically on PlayStation.
Yeah, Olly Olly 2
came out.
I don't have.
Well, no. You didn't have Plus when it came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? All right,
but But for those that do, yeah.
And Whoa Dave is a pleasant little retro arcade.
That game's too hard for me. Okay. I got that gifted to me from Brian Clark, actually.
Yeah. I think I have that on PSN. It's been free on there a few times.
Which one?
Which one?
Brian Clark.
Oh, yeah. The one that might be listening to this podcast. Yeah. The one not waving his dick out the window.
What?
There was one we went to Fredonia with. Oh, it was also cool. He's around Buffalo still.
There's like a pro wrestler I think of who was half of Chronic.
He's half of Chronic.
He is. That was the
tag team.
Is he
the Crow or the Nick? Yeah. No, I thought that game was very neat. It was just like, I can play for like 5 seconds. The Whoa Dave.
I was surprised how quickly I got a handle on it, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm just not started playing the classic mode. No, I mean, you know, it's... sometimes, you know, I mean, those classic arcade designs sometimes are like, well, either it clicks with you or it doesn't. And I was pleasantly surprised that it clicked with me. So,
because that was was that Renegade or no? Who did that one? What studio was that? That was somebody.
I have no idea who did Whoa Dave.
Oh, I think that was Bit Trip Team. That was those guys. It was Choice Provision. Fuck. It was somebody that I was like, oh, they haven't done something in a while and they put something out for free. So. I would have to look it up.
Well, I'm excited to try Renegade Kids Moon Chronicles for 3DS, which also is included in this bundle, because it sure looks like Metroid Prime. You know, Renegade Kid, if they're good at anything, it's pastiches of Nintendo games. So.
Oh, I love Mutant Muds.
Yeah, so I'm excited to try that, too. And yeah, God, Mighty Switch Force, that's a fun game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Way to go, way forward.
I imagine they'll put Mighty Switch Force 2 in the bundle, maybe. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Maybe you think they would lead with 2 and then put 1 back in there. I don't know.
Hey, it's the $10 area. Like, Mighty Switch Force 2 only goes for, like, 6 or 7.
I mean, I bought it for, like, $2 when it was on sale recently.
The Beat the Average tier, like, the more games are included in the Beat the Average price, which... I think right now is $9.19.
Right.
So
yeah,
you might as well
$10
spend
anyways.
A clean
yeah.
10 and also get your Steam World Dig. And
yeah, that's absolutely.
That's why I'm thinking, because usually when they add those late games, it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's at least what that average amount is. So I'm thinking about like a $10-ish game. Like Shovel Knight goes for 15. It would be a great deal.
God damn it. I'm sure it'll be in a bundle eventually.
I know.
I just don't know about this one. I mean, it's been out a year,
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, like, they put it on sale around Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not holding my breath. There's a Steam Summer Sale coming in a couple weeks.
Oh, my God. Is there a fucking Steam Summer Sale in a couple weeks?
I really want to play
Axiom
Verge.
They keep making it earlier and earlier. It pisses me off.
Oh, I'm really happy about this. I've been waiting for a bundle of what feels like for fucking ever.
I just like, it was in July, like the first year I had my PC, and then it was like right at the end of June, and now it's not even going to be summer yet when the summer sale starts.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, there's no spring sale, so.
Yeah.
And that felt like a deficit.
It will go into the summer.
How long do they usually
go for? About a week and change.
Yeah.
Week, 2 weeks, depends.
I gotta buy some shit.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, no, I hope maybe I'll have to squirrel aside some. Well, yeah. I think I have some Best Buy credit I could probably turn into a Steam gift card. I like to arm myself for the sales because, it gives me money to buy games, and two, if I budget, I can stick to it.
Yeah.
I just set aside like $30 and be like, this is what you get.
I really, if Axiom Verge goes on sale, I mean, the minute game goes on sale, I'm going to buy it. But also, I want to play that game while it's hot. I don't want to wait a year to play that game like I do most games.
Hey, I played Axiom Verge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Should I play that game while it's hot?
It's fucking good.
All right.
It is a good game.
I dropped 20 bones on that.
I think it's fine to drop 20 bones on. I played it for over 10 hours. So it's not like short.
Yeah, no, I'll be getting that. I played through... Symphony just recently, so
I picked up Axiom Verge because I was like, I want something to play in the middle of the night when I am up watching the baby, and that's a great game for that
baby.
Axiom Verge, it is a kind of is a Metroid inspired one of those games sort of where you are on a 2D plane exploring a large space, going up corridors and going down corridors and up and down shafts and going down side rooms and collecting weapons and gaining abilities that let you move around more. in the world.
Is there a word for that kind of game? Or?
Metroidvania is the word that most people throw around.
What is that?
Yeah, it's
what are
the,
those?
Well, it's the thing that I just described. Actually,
it's a Metroid or Castlevania.
It's like Super Metroid. Like,
I've never played Metroidvania
or like a Symphony of the Night.
Ben is actually confused at your sarcasm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really was. I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, God, Jesus,
that's cute. Cute.
I wanted to see how long the hook would go.
Yeah,
there's these things called video games.
Yeah, I really
stop
like
me when you've heard it.
Axiom Verge, it is a top tier one of those games, for sure. There is a lot more of them that exist in the gaming space these days than there was like maybe 5 years ago. As more and more indie developers are like, man, I love that style of game. I'm going to do something with it. This game was made by one guy. One guy did the work on this game. And it does some really interesting things with the formula. And, you know, it's like, yes, at some point you get a thing that lets you jump higher, but like the movement abilities that you do get are cool and unexpected. The weapons in this game, none of them are necessary other than the first weapon you pick up.
Nice.
What?
Like, they're all optional, and there's like 20 of them.
Huh.
I didn't even find them all.
Very
but
cool.
But like, yeah, it's just like, well, they just do different stuff. They are different options for attacking, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that is super cool.
Nice.
None of them are used to break down walls or open certain doors or whatever. It's just
they just make certain parts easier, probably.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Like
Weesh, are you live tweeting photos of the podcast right now?
Just one. Well, because I'm like, we never do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that is true.
Every other podcast.
So that's cool that there's a lot of different weapons. There's lots of different stuff to find. I mean, obviously, there's pickups and power-ups scattered around, but it's not like you're just picking up missile tanks or whatever. Like, sometimes picking up a missile tank is kind of a lame consolation. Just like, oh, great, five more missiles. I mean, it's good, but whatever. Here, you're finding stuff that will, like, power up your... Well, there is, like, kind of heart piece sort of deals, but...
that's what I hear about this game
range.
Is that it deviates from the formula in all the right way. Like, even if you thought you were burnt out on Metroidvanias, this is the one that deviates from the formulas in all the right ways to get you back.
Mechanically, it has a lot of new ideas in it. It's like, I wish something, you know, like Guacamelee had gone further with its whole aesthetic of wrestling and stuff. But instead, you just kind of get abilities that break blocks of the same color, and it's... kind of very simple in a way. Mm-hmm. It's still fun, but...
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm in the same bag with Guacamelee.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, this belongs on that tier with something like Shadow Complex and those being... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I said the words. it is up there with that. And the whole aesthetic of the game is really cool, and there's like a nice, creepy, you know, science fiction...
it looked almost...
Geiger-esque feel to it.
Yeah, it looked almost ASCII-esque, like... Like, it looked like it was so saturated, I guess, like, with sort of, like, a mosaic. At least maybe that's what I was getting from the couple screenshots, where it's just kind of, like, very, you know, pastiche, like, stab, 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 kind of, like, spread out dots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very different. So I like that.
Yeah, it looks really good. The backgrounds look great. All the art is great. The music is really good. There's a soundtrack I just remembered I have to buy, but I forget things really easily now because I have a child. But it was really good and of a good length.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth checking out and,
fine
to purchase for $20. But Steam sales in a couple weeks, it will probably be a few bucks cheaper.
Yep, no, that's probably close to my top of Steam sale list as well. If not top, we'll see where Grim Fandango Remastered goes. But
I played a very little bit of Massive Chalice after that last podcast. I got to up to about 2/3 the way through the game. Then I had a kid and haven't played it since. But it comes out this week and will be free on Games with Gold if you have an Xbox. Yeah.
Only the Xbox One.
Xbox One. But if you have an Xbox One and Games with Gold, and if you have one, I don't understand why you wouldn't have the other. Then you should get it. And I'm bummed that they're adding controller support in the 1.0 patch. I was like, fuck, that would have been really nice when I was playing it. But hey, it'll get patched.
Yep.
Then I can play it with a controller. But I don't think there's any other significant additions to the game. And kind of my thoughts were on the last podcast, and that it was good but not great.
Yeah.
Didn't really.
That one will be a heavy sale for me after that.
That's probably safe. While I was at the hospital those first couple days, I spent a lot of time on my PSP Go playing the Metal Slug anthology.
Oh.
I played every Metal Slug game except for 7 while I was chilling in the hospital.
Nice.
The drop-off in quality after Metal Slug 3 is quite,
I was just gonna say,
quite precipitous. As that was, 4 is the one where Playmore took over.
Yep.
And Metal Slug 4 is a piece of fucking garbage.
That's I believe, where I stopped.
Yeah, and it's funny because, all of the Metal Slug games, they use the same sprites over and over again. They're really hard to distinguish from one another, kind of, I guess, if you play them all spread out. So that's kind of why I wanted to play them all in a row. Mm-hmm. Dave, are you still there?
I think I nudged him. I'm laying on the floor now. I slipped a disc in my spine, so now I'm laying on the floor instead of sitting down.
Wow.
I've got my mic. I'm holding my mic. but I wanted to ask, when did you get a PSP Go? That's what I've been waiting to say.
You coyishly asking, writhing on the floor.
Oh,
I just wanted to ask, so when did you get the PSP Go?
It was a couple years ago, I think, when they were like $50 at GameStop.
Oh, okay.
They were like clearing out their stock, and I followed your advice to get one to be a little easy emulation machine on the go.
Yeah, if Wood hadn't have given me his PSP when he went to Korea, I would have gotten that Go, I think, at the same time.
But I loaded up with the ISOs of my games and some emulators, so that seemed like a good thing to have at the hospital where I wouldn't know what I wanted to play.
Yeah.
But I played the Metal Slug Anthology, which does not run great on a PSP. There is plenty of slowdown in that throughout the series, but
Of slowdown on that on the arcade machine. So.
Not really.
No.
Not as bad as it is on the PSP. Like there was some in some spots in the arcade, but like not nearly as bad as what you see here. But anyways,
and you know what? That's a shame because the homebrew emulators run that stuff way better than it's packaged in the retail.
Funny. Because I didn't have a Neo Geo emulator at my disposal, but Metal Slug 4 is bad. 5 is not great. 6 is. Was, I think, surprisingly decent at that point after I played through a couple. I was like, oh, that was pretty fun.
Still rank it after 1, 2, and 3?
Well, the weird thing is 2 is kind of this...
2 and X?
Just 2, because X is just a better version of 2.
Right.
So it's like 2 exists in this where it's kind of fine. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to compare those two because 2 is... kind of bland. It's not, I don't like it as much as 1, but X makes all the tweaks that make it awesome. And
right.
Just like kind of playing them back to back and going like,
I did that way back in the day. I just don't remember the differences between 2 and X now.
It's all like little subtle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting, like the tweaks that they knew they had to make in order to make it a fun game. And 3
still the same
is
basic level layouts though, right?
Basically,
X makes 2 redundant
effectively. Yes, like you why would you play 2, just play X. And 3 is awesome. That game is fucking incredible. Holy crap, that is absolutely the culmination of the of that series,
which is why 4 is so bad.
4 is so bad. I mean, it's funny because it's almost a culmination storyline wise too when you're on this alien, the last level is so long in Metal Slug 3. We're on the alien spaceship and doing all this shit, and like, you know, Marco gets kidnapped or whomever, playing as Marco, and it's crazy how much goes on. And the first level in Metal Slug 3, you're on a beach fighting crab people.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's nuts. It's friggin' nuts.
I'm going to have to go back and play Metal Slug.
I know.
Yeah. I'm not sure which ones I have on my PSP right now.
Yeah, and I think part of what made the first few so good, as opposed to the Playmore ones, is that, like, the original Metal Slug team realized, I mean, they're making a tough as nails quarter muncher for sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to cut loose and let the player have fun. Mm-hmm. Like you give them a flamethrower. Whenever you get a flamethrower in that series,
yeah.
something fun is they're doing it not because it's an effective gun, but because they want to show you the awesome animation they just made
right.
for an enemy burning up. So it's like, here's a flamethrower. Now here's some guys slowly parachuting in
yeah.
so you can set them on fire and like,
right.
oh, set these zombies on fire and these aliens. Like we want to show you these cool animations.
Yep.
And that was really missing from 4 and 5. They were just mm-hmm. like, just it, like kill you, kill you, kill you, kill you, kill yeah. you. It was like, oh god.
It just felt so fucking, by the numbers.
Yeah, it just was. Yeah. 4 is so fucking bad. I oh.
The Metal Slug team, Nazca, right? Those were all XIRM guys.
I believe so.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this game, like, I think they made. Didn't they make In the Hunt? And then, like,
yes.
that was their last game for IRM, and then...
There were, yeah, the, well, they made, like, yeah, a couple IRM games that were, like, that people looked to, or was it, is that what
as
they were
called? Predecessors, too.
Yeah, they were, like, just predecessors. Yeah, the obvious predecessors to Metal Slug.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, Nazca is the treasure. Nazca is mm-hmm. to IRM as treasure is to Konami.
Yeah.
Right.
Whew.
Yeah. That's cool.
All right.
But lately,
The Witcher?
I have been playing The Witcher.
Doing a lot of witching?
I have been doing as much witching as my child will allow me to do. Much witching done with him asleep on my chest.
How can you even play that game? Because it's so disappointing that it's not as good as the trailers.
What?
There was a lot of people saying that.
What?
Yeah.
Graphically, this game is nowhere near the target renders that were on display at E3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's still the best look. Okay, so this is crazy.
You said
about
the same thing about your kid too. That's weird. Yeah.
The sonogram looked great
from the sonogram.
The target renders did not work out. This is the crazy thing. Is
I'm sorry. I'm putting together a game in my head where the sprites are like sonogram X-rays.
Oh.
It's pretty wow. cool. Paul Robertson.
my machine actually does not meet the minimum spec to play The Witcher 3.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun.
Which I found out after playing Witcher 3 for like 6 hours or so. And I've only had one, it freeze up like once. And like I've seen plenty of talks about bugs and glitches, and I have seen one glitch of note, which mm-hmm. involved two guys spontaneously dying and then getting mysteriously pulled across the ground, which was pretty fucking funny.
Your frame rates are fine, and you're...
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not getting up to 60 frames per second, certainly, but like... It looks great. I'm not even playing it at the lowest settings either. And just like the environments in this game are just jaw dropping.
How's the occlusion? Is it totally ambient?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's just like oh my
I'm
god.
Sorry. I love PC graphic settings.
Yeah.
I think that they have funny names.
Yeah, they do.
So yeah, what did For someone who I tried Witcher 2, I forget if it was Witcher or Witcher 2. I think
it was Witcher 2. 2.
And I couldn't get past like I had gotten up to like the main like weapon tutorial and was just like, all right, I don't think I'm gonna gel with this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like what is because I know the story is deep. Is that what are the main things that draw you into the Witcher realm? Over
it's
other
got,
games.
It's got a unique system, doesn't it? I remember you talking about Witcher, rhapsodizing about Witcher 2, Tim, and I feel like it was largely your love was seemed largely mechanics based.
Okay.
No, I really like the world of The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
I have read some books about the adventures of The Witcher.
Which I still like to read.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. it has a really interesting I really like the character himself. Mm-hmm. I just really like the tone of the world. And all that stuff, but I do really enjoy it's cool because you're playing, you know, this kind of mercenary monster hunter guy. Well, he's a professional, he's union,
right?
Witchers need to get paid for their jobs. They don't work for free.
Good story. That should be in the core of every story.
Workers control the means of production.
That's what the Witcher is about.
Witcher 3 about scabs.
It's about labor issues is what
labor
the
relations
is about. And that's what I really look for in a video game. But you
no
know,
more
I,
heroes.
I really like the idea that this, you know, you're playing this character who is not a blank slate. He has already well-trained and well-versed and has all this knowledge and experience.
That's cool, yeah.
So it's just cool. He already knows, he already has this encyclopedic knowledge of monsters. So when someone's describing something to him, like, well, it looks like this, it sounds like this, he's kind of already getting an idea of his head, like, oh, they call it a shrieker, but they mean it's a cockatrice. This is what they're talking about.
How does he grow mechanically if he's so overpowered, if he's so adept?
Well, that's a weird thing because they still give you a skill tree to power all his abilities.
That's what I was just gonna say.
So it's just so weird. Like, you've been witching for years, but you still gotta, like, remember, find all your potion recipes and get good gear and whatnot.
You know,
I guess there's a bit of a disconnect there, but
he's an alcoholic. Let's just say he's an alcoholic.
It's a video game.
I know. It's just curious. And we make it like a civil service thing, and he has to go up to the next civil service exam.
He needs to get some certifications.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a this is one of the things that kind of annoys me about this game, because Witcher 2 had a skill tree, and there was like concentrations in, like, you know, physical combat and your magic signs and your alchemy and potions and stuff like that. And this has kind of the same thing. There's that same division, three branches. But when you get a skill, you then have to equip the skill. And you don't have many
slots
for doing that.
So you're going to concentrate on something then.
Well, yeah, what pisses me off is I didn't realize that until I had already spent some points, and I was like, oh, shit. I don't think I have riggedy wrecked myself by any means, but it's just kind of a bummer where it's like,
you feel like you've wasted some time.
I wasted maybe like a ability point, which is not even true because I'm using that ability right now.
Okay. That's an awful feeling when that happens, though, that you realize you put points into the something you're not using at all.
Yeah, but I mean, it just really caught me off guard where I was like, oh crap, I actually only have two slots for equipping like these four abilities that I've put points into right now. Like, oh shit, I need to rethink what I'm doing.
Move them around.
What do you mean?
The points, but the skills that you equip. So you
So it's like, if you're going into a situation where it's like, oh, okay, well, there's guys here with bows and arrows, so I want to equip the thing that lets me block arrows.
Right,
otherwise, I'll have one of my magic things in there, and it's fine. It just surprised me.
Yeah.
It's fine because it's like I should probably be investing points into one thing anyways instead of taking like eight different skills. Probably makes things just more manageable in combat, whatever. It's fine. I kind of still hope there's a respec ability somewhere down the road, but that doesn't really seem like the kind of thing that they deal in the world of The Witcher. But this game is very, very good. Aside from just looking awesome on my underpowered PC with it not living up to the specs of the initial trailers.
So underpowered. Thanks for nothing, Rez.
Yeah, I picked out the graphics card. I guess I should have went with something a little more powerful. I mean, like, the game runs fine. I'm not suffering from slowdown. It runs at a good frame rate. It's fine. When the sun is rising over the land, it looks incredible. Just I've never seen like woods rendered so incredibly well. Like, the amount of time they put into this game in making trees and bushes.
Nice.
The skyboxes are amazing. It looks so fucking good.
I didn't even play much of it, but I bought BioShock Infinite because it was dirt cheap finally on PC just to kind of look at. And yeah, that looks really fucking nice on it.
PC. Yeah.
Holy shit.
This Witcher takes more of an open world than Witcher 2. And it's, I feel like it does what Dragon Age Inquisition may have wanted to do, in that you're in this map and there's lots of stuff out there to do, but none of it's bullshit. None of it's garbage. Like collect-a-thon, run over there. None of it's annoying stuff. Like, the stuff that's out there for you to do is like worthwhile, which is crazy. Like, every single thing I've run up to and actually done has been worth the time, like, running over to check it out. Like, put so much more in compared to something like Skyrim, which also, you know, obviously has this huge open space and there's all this stuff to go out there and do. But like, how many things in Skyrim do you walk up to and it's just like, oh, it's a tomb that I walk through and do this and kill a bunch of skeletons, or it's a cave or whatever. There's like so much greater variety of stuff. There's like nothing has felt repetitive in playing this game for, I'm sure, I don't know exactly what my hour count is, but like, let's say at least 15 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm not feeling any kind of repetition of task. Like, sure, there's multiple bandit camps, but it's like I hop in, I fight, you know, six bandits, and it's over in like a few minutes, and then I pick up my treasure and I go about my way.
Wait, you're making me want to go play some Skyrim right now.
Right, yeah.
you want to go play an open world medieval fantasy game.
I was thinking of Mordor.
Yeah,
just stabbing some orcs.
But it's like, you know, and they put a lot of work into that side stuff, in making it worthwhile and making all of the quests interesting to do. And it's just nuts. And they do things that I wish that other RPGs, or always wanted other RPGs to do, where things actually kind of tie together. Like the world feels more cohesive. I mean, there's this one example where you're going along your way in the story and you have to go into this inn to ask for some advice, or not advice, directions, information. And while you're there, like these ruffians come in and start shit with you. And, you know, that situation will resolve itself in one of three different ways. But assuming that the way you took wasn't killing the guy, you will run into one of those guards later on guarding someplace that you need to get into for the story. And how that interaction played out then, will it play into that interaction then?
Very
and like that's
cool.
Yeah, it's like that's like what you want it to do, is like this dude exists in the world.
Well, and that's one of those things that you should be doing with all this extra memory that we have for games now. I think that's what we should be utilizing.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I think CD Projekt Red is a really interesting company, because they're like this bizarro Eastern Bloc version of Mirror Universe version of Valve, where they make this, you know, critically acclaimed series that has a relatively small but devoted, you know, adherence to it. They only make a game every few years or so, and they run this digital storefront. That's where they get most of their money. And but like, you know, in a genre that happens to be sort of in vogue, right? I mean, if anything, if you could say amongst AAA games, if anything is kind of in vogue, has been in vogue for the past few years, you could say it's open world fantasy RPGs. Mm-hmm. And you know, as what Half-Life was to shooters, perhaps The Witcher is to that genre, you know, because I feel like everyone talks about these games like The Witcher is the series that's doing stuff that is moving that genre forward in real interesting ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's hard to explain because it's so deep and kind of subtle in a lot of ways. Another example is just like I love the way they do the hunts in this game, which is, you know, your job as a witcher, there's the main story where you're trying to find your former ward slash friend, whatever. That's kind of the main storyline. The Wild Hunt is chasing her down. But, you know, your job, your occupation is to go around to towns, and if they're having monster problems, you help them take care of their problems. So whenever there is one of those comes up, it's like, you know, you go to a person, you get information about it, you go to the place where some shit went down, you investigate with your detective mode, your Witcher senses. But I like the gathering information portion. And then it's just like, well, how did this monster come to exist? There's all this kind of lore behind why one of these monsters would come into existence. So either way, one of the early ones, you go and you kill this this wraith that spawned because of a woman who was like slain on her wedding day or something like that. It creates a very specific kind of trauma that creates a noon wraith. And while you're there, after you do the thing and you're talking to the guy who gave you the quest, and you're like, well, you know, you're kind of getting, I got a little more information out of him that I think I maybe necessarily needed to. I probably could have just taken my money and walked away. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, well, so what exactly you like went down with this person? Did anyone actually know this person beforehand? They're like, oh yeah, the herbalist up the road, you know, used to know her. And it's like, that's where the quest ends. But if you go and talk to the herbalist and tell her about what happened, she just gives you a bunch of stuff.
Huh.
But it's not okay. Like they say, like, oh, go ask the herbalist, right. By the way. It's like you got to sit there and think, like, oh, I know who the herbalist is. There's a lot of stuff like that where it's unspoken. Like, you have to go.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that makes it feel like a real fucking world.
Yes.
What's funny is I wouldn't necessarily like that in every game, but I think for, like, that genre, that's very cool.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not like every quest has some unspoken hanger-on sort of deal.
Right. And it's unnecessary. That's what's cool, too. It's not holding you up.
Yeah, it was just like a bunch of alchemy stuff. Then I'm like, yeah, this will come in handy. That's great. Right. Thank you.
It helps break the video game fiction that these are all merely, like, set pieces. Like, everything. Yeah. That they're all stage flats with nothing real behind them. They're only showing you just enough to get you through. Mm-hmm. But if you tried to, you know, dig deeper, there's nothing behind it. But yeah, like, you know, these characters should know each other. If you talk to one, that, you know, but like, oh no, of course that character is not going to say anything new because they only have so much space to record so much dialogue. And oh wait, no, she does know that. Okay, great.
Yeah, she does react to this.
She does react to this. That's a good, intelligent way to. Mm-hmm.
It's like the first moment somebody. Yeah, reacted differently because I did something. I'm thinking maybe like a fable or even hearing like how much dialogue was recorded for Psychonauts when I was waiting for someone to say the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, God, that was so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, they do a hell of a job with their world building here, and it's awesome. It's very really cool. Good, and it's a huge freaking game. But it doesn't feel like paralysis level huge. I'm not sitting there looking at the map going like, oh my God, I have so much work to do.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of stuff out there to do, but I'm just like, well, I'll get to it eventually. But it's different because I'm not like, oh, it's a bunch of work. It's just like, oh man, there's all this stuff I want to do right now. There's so many quests I want to pursue.
It's like a Mass Effect problem.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah, you just kind of want to do everything at once. I made one decision at this one point where I was like, well, I had completed a quest back in this previous area. Well, I completed a quest that I needed to go back and report back the way that I had come, but I kind of ended up following the story a ways. And I was sitting there like, well, man, I can keep following the story, but I can go turn in this quest. I mean, I'm sure it's not that big a deal, but it's just kind of bugging me.
Yeah.
So I went back, turned the quest, and I'm like, well, I'll take a different route to where my next quest marker is. To the next story quest marker is just so that I go through different area and run into different shit. I have not gotten back to that main story quest marker yet because at that point the main story split into two ways and I ended up kind of walking up to the other one and doing all this other stuff and I still haven't gone over to do that. There's just like been so much cool stuff to do. And the world is also terrifying because there's crazy fucking monsters out in the woods.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, I caught a glimpse of this one thing stomping around and, like, killing wild dogs, and I'm just like, fuck, I gotta get out of here before my horse freaks out. Because your horse has a fear level, and if it gets totally freaked out, it'll throw you off.
Oh, wow.
And then you might be in the shits.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, I went down into this cave. It was an advanced level mission that I kind of stumbled upon to, and there was some kind of creature down there that was turning invisible. But I managed to take advantage of his AI pathing and get a bunch of treasure and run back out.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting to enjoy these stolen moments of early parenthood where, like, you're sort of trapped, where you're like, well, there is literally nothing productive I can be doing right now because there's a child sleeping on top of me.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's like, yeah, I just, like, lean back, grab the controller, fire up The Witcher, and...
Nice.
Yep, play till I have to pee or he wakes up.
I miss those times.
Those times don't last.
Oh, boy. All right. Anyone else play some stuff?
Yeah, I got stuff. Are we saving any Broken Age talk, I assume?
I think we should. Like, spoiler stuff. I think we talked a little bit about how it's good.
Yeah, I think my general consensus of I like the first half more, but it's still pretty great. So I'll save that for whatever.
Come on, Dave, get to work.
Now that I'm done with my show, I can. That's sort of next on the docket. Is finishing that.
I'll blow through the smaller one. Majora's Mask. I need to get back to. I think.
Me too.
I think one of the things with Majora's Mask to me is it's weird because like it's really cool how it's just structured, but because of the way it's structured, it doesn't have the same Zelda hook that I get out of every other Zelda. Uh-huh.
That's a great way to explain. Yes, you're absolutely right. I never thought of it that way before.
Like it's not like pulling me back to the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I still really want to.
I know exactly what you feel.
Yeah. I tried Sakura Samurai on the 3DS, which is one of those smaller games I got out of my coins because I didn't have a ton. A lot of people dig this game because it kind of has a somewhere between a Punch-Out and a Rock, Paper, Scissors kind of system. I couldn't get the rhythm quite perfectly, so I don't know about that game. I was curious if anyone else had tried it, but
no,
apparently not. Me, Steve, and Corey busted out Scott Pilgrim for a while. So we got to play a bunch of that. And that game's still fucking sweet. That game has not stopped being sweet. But I put the most amount of time, aside from Broken Age, into going through Symphony of the Night, which I mentioned earlier. I played through all of again, which is nice. And
on what?
PS3, technically, but with my PS1 disc.
Okay.
You know, because I've only played, I think this is only the second time I've beaten the game. Like, obviously, I was way late to it. And I've dicked with it here and there, but I think this is a game that actually gets better each time I play it. Because,
yeah,
we've got a couple one of which has gone up where we were discussing Symphony. So it was kind of on my mind with Axiom Verge and all that shit. And it's really interesting because, like, at first I always get overwhelmed by it. I'm just like, oh, there's so much stuff I can pick up. But really, it isn't until those, you know, portable Igavania Castlevanias where you get... Yeah, I know. I'm trying to use
it. Can't believe you just fucking said that word.
He says it. He made it.
Yeah.
I know.
Igavania.
But whatever. Fuck Konami. I'm mad at Konami right now. But they have a lot more collectible stuff to pick up, technically. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Symphony feels like it. Like, and if I really sat down to, you know, up my luck as far as I could and get items out of everything, yes, there's tons of stuff. But it takes a long time for, like, weapons. Like, whatever weapon you find, you pick the best one and you have it for quite a while. Mm. So it's not really like, not until the second half of the game maybe where you're even making a decision as to what weapon you really want to use. And that goes for a lot of stuff. Like, the only thing, you know, I wish it was a little easier to organize your items. To organize your items.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be nice. And this is definitely this. I did it the first time too. Like, where you have to break the ice to go get the snorkel, is really hard for me to find because it's not on the map.
Mm.
And it's the only thing that stopped me. But and I have to this time because the first time I played it. I use the shield rod with Alucard's shield, which is game breaking. Absolutely game.
Oh yeah.
For the
I've
second
time. I've
never done
that before.
What it does is it powers up your shield to be offensive. So you just run into things and they explode.
Yep. Oh,
pretty much.
Yep.
And I still did this with Dracula just cause I was like, oh, I forget how powerful this is. And then he's done. He's absolutely done. But that's, you know, I'm not great at, you know, finding all the hidden things in Symphony just input-wise, but, you know, when I got the shield rod, I tried it with every shield I had because they had names and they all do different things because you just hit the button at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Which is neat. So, yeah, I purposefully made myself not do that this time so I could experience the second half of the game.
Cool. That's something I love about every time I've revisited Symphony is that I kind of just I never go in with a purpose or a point. I just kind of let the chips fall where they may. And I have a slightly different experience every time because that game is just so chock full of crazy shit.
Yeah.
And
this one kind of turned into my lightning cannon and combat knife run. What I used the most of. I was just like, you know, I never really used this lightning thing. Let's power
it
up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Combat knife. That thing's a hoot.
It is.
Well, stab, stab, stab.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've done that. You can stab things really quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just got to get next to them.
And of course, I found the lightning armor right after I fought the fucking hardest boss in the game. Yeah. But, and the only other thing I've really played is the crack that is Picross 3D. Just Picross anything is wonderful and horrible and hard to put down.
Yeah.
And I'll sit down to go to bed after an overnight and be like, oh, I'll play a puzzle.
I'll play just one.
Yeah. Well, and then I have to beat
that. 3 hours later.
Yeah. Well, because it's like I'll play one, but it's like, well, I could beat level, you know, two, which means like beating these seven puzzles and their silver and the gold bonuses. And it's like, well, I want to see what the difference between level two and level three is. All right. So I'm on hard, which means I've beaten all the beginner and the normals at this point. So, yeah, that game's great. And that's about it game-wise.
Cool.
Yeah.
Benjamin, you nasty youth.
I learned how to play cribbage recently.
Oh, nice.
That's not
that,
video
that hot
that's
new jam, hot new cribbage. Jam.
Yeah, I played cards sweet. At your house.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Both Cassie and I come from a long line of card playing families. So.
I guess.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't. I really haven't played anything lately. I've been work related and
vacation.
Vacation and trying to make sure that my lawn doesn't turn brown and
yes.
again.
That's fine. Yeah. It comes back.
Sure. Did you bring any board games to the wedding?
You know, so we had talked about it a lot, and I took your list and I started to look, and then. My brother said something, and I was talking with my parents. They're like, well, we don't know how much time there's going to be because Josh is going to need help getting things set up. My brother did a lot of the projects on his own, or at least got them started.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got there, we didn't play a game as a family until Thursday night, and I wasn't even there because that's when we did Josh's bachelor party. They played cards while we were gone. We were ironing linens all day. We were planning things into his homemade little pots or planners for the escort cards and stuff. And so it was just – it was nonstop wedding. So we would have
fucking
never
Christ.
Had a chance to even play a game.
It's just really rainy outside.
Yeah.
Cold and shitty today.
So I was disappointed because we couldn't have, you know, the – you know, a good old time with the fam playing a game or something. But –
put you to work.
Next time we were all together, we'll be able to do that.
You see your family enough, you'll be fine.
Well, sort of. I see my parents enough. My brother,
your sister, lives in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Your brother lives in Sacramento.
Yeah, it's
true,
a little difficult.
True.
So,
little Benny didn't leave home.
And someone's got to take care of the parents.
Cock up the gun.
Oh my god!
Permanently.
Jesus Christ!
Take
what?
Care of the Ben. Take care of it.
You have.
You know what
mission.
You need to do.
Both my parents are retired and still work like a shit ton right now. So
yeah,
they are. They are well occupied.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds fine. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about Amiibos.
Oh yeah. Well, so, people sure go nuts for them.
Oh, man. Okay, so I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, but back in March, I bought a Mega Man Amiibo.
Yep.
Saw it in the store. Mentions. Got a Mega Man Amiibo. I'm like, this is my Amiibo. I have 7 Amiibos now.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, I don't want every Amiibo. I just, you know, want some. I mean, it is cool, like, getting the costumes in Mario Kart, and I, you know, someday want to get Hyrule Warriors and do shit with that and other games that come out. They do have that Nintendo's Greatest Bits thing that you can play on the Wii U where, like, you scan an amiibo and it unlocks sort of like a demo for a virtual console game sort of deal.
Right. Which I like that.
Which, it's funny because when you scan the amiibo you scan has nothing to do with the game you unlock.
Oh. I don't like that.
It's not like you, like I'm going to scan Mega Man and unlock a bit from Mega Man 2 or Mario World.
Yeah.
What? And that's the way it is for all of them. Like, there's no fucking correlation. It's ridiculous.
It's just random.
Yeah, it's just random.
Is it random per amiibo or per class? So, like, are all the Mega Mans going to unlock the same game?
No, I don't know.
I don't think so. Okay.
I don't know whether it just does one, like, randomly in the system and then assigns it to that amiibo.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's a who.
Daddy, why are you doing podcasts on the floor?
That is an excellent question, Julia Page.
Yeah, thank
because
you, Julia
my neck
Page.
Hurts, sweetie pie.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too, Dave.
you can close the door, baby. Thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, I ended up getting a Toon Link, and then there was like a sale, and I got like three more. Mm-hmm. And then I bought a couple of these. So this is the thing, because Friday was a new Amiibo day.
Yes.
Wave 4 Amiibos came out. And
my social media let me know.
So I got Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pac-Man's cool. And I got Wario.
He is cool as
and,
well.
And Charizard. I also like Charizard.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you go to a store, out of like the 10 Amiibos that came out that day, you might find Pac-Man.
Yep.
And that was it. Maybe one other, depending. And, like, I bring this up specifically because they just had a stream in Japan about Fire Emblem, and they're like, you'll be able to use all of your Fire Emblem amiibos with the new Fire Emblem. You cannot find a fucking Fire Emblem amiibo in the United States of America.
No.
Like, I
know
was...
people go nuts for Marth and...
They are, like, all the hardest ones to find are the Fire Emblem ones. The new ones, you know, Robin and Lucina came out on Friday.
Yeah.
Amazon was doing this thing where they were... They had this schedule up there. They're like, okay, we are going to put up orders for this amiibo between the hour of this and this at some random point there.
Oh, wow.
I think.
So, I mean, I guess it's an idea. So you're not doing them all at once.
Yeah.
And it's whatever. But, you know, that's how I got my Charizard and my Wario.
Right.
But, like, I'm sitting there at the computer and I refresh it right when Lucina went up. And I'm like, oh shit.
No.
Click, 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 click. Didn't make it. Didn't get enough of it. I was sitting at the computer refreshing the page. I missed Robin when it went up. I only know because Cheapass posted it on their Twitter that it went up. I'm just like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yep.
Like, they have got to get this supply thing sorted out. And the other thing is that there was three amiibos that came out on Friday. They're retailer exclusives, and if you ever want any of those, fucking forget about it. Ness was a GameStop exclusive. Go figure, that is the most expensive amiibo on the secondhand market because it's Earthbound and it was a retailer exclusive. But it's just like, I don't understand, like,
it really feels so artificial
for sure.
Just like the demand, this pisses me off more than like system wise. I don't know, it's so dumb.
I just don't like, you need to put out, I mean, I know they're, to some degree, they're kind of, like, early on, this was a kind of excusable because it was like, well, we don't know how this is going to take off. But, like, I don't think it's interesting when your shelves are always the same group of amiibos all the time.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just kind of like, at this point, okay, make enough and then make more, because obviously people are hooked.
Yeah.
So if you make more of these, more different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like there have been like some reorders and restocks and blah blah blah, but it's just like,
right,
you know, for like some kid that wants his, I don't know, Meta Knight figure, whatever, but didn't, I don't know, his dad worked so couldn't wait outside of a Best Buy to get a Meta Knight when that came out. It's like, what are you, I don't understand with all these retailer exclusives and then like the hyper rarity of some of them.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. It seems like you should make more and that you'll need to make more at some point.
My kid's going to play with sticks in the wood. That's
like the Fire Emblem ones work with codename Steam. I'd love to do that. The Fire Emblem Amiibos seem to have some of the most interesting functionality out of any of them, and they are the most impossible to find in the United States.
That sucks.
Like, you gotta, like, order them from overseas. I would love to get a Little Mac one.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to pay $30 for one of those things.
So you're gonna hop into Lego Dimensions?
No.
It's Lego.
Yeah.
It's a whole dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
It sucks because they put out that one trailer with Christopher Lloyd, and I forgot about Lego Dimensions, and at first I thought it was a Back to the Future trilogy Lego game, and I'm just like, I would buy that new. Yeah. That would be the franchise I would buy immediately, but it's mixed with everything.
Yeah. See, the problem with that is that you need the toys to really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't need the Amiibos to enjoy anything other than their fine looks on my shelf.
Right.
I got a sweet Mega Man costume in Mario Kart. It's pretty sweet.
Sounds sweet.
It's pretty sweet. It's just insane.
Right.
Like, because they came out, so you'll be able to find Pac-Man and, like, Silver Marios for the next 6 months until more come out.
Right.
And then those will be impossible to find. And that's when Olimar comes out, which is one of the ones I really want.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, nice.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they got to do all the Smash Brothers characters.
Right. Well, if they do the trophies, I'd be like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the characters.
No, I know, but trophy, I mean, like, the obscure
shit. Like, all the other ones, yeah.
They're doing
a Chibi Robo amiibo I saw.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
See, that's starting to get more...
See, if they did an amiibo of, like, a huge group of red Pikmin, I'd totally buy that so that it looks like they're about to all drown in water.
Oh, why? Would you throw it in your, like, bathtub or something? Like,
goldfish toy, actually. Pretty funny.
I did see they're doing amiibo functionality with Yoshi's Woolly World, where you scan them and it puts, like, a skin of that character over one of those woolly Yoshis.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
And they look fucking scary, some of them.
That I might be interested in.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, the Mario one was terrifying.
What is Splatoon?
I don't know what Splatoon... Splatoon has its own amiibos.
Yes.
Like the Squid Boy, Squid Girl. I did see those a little bit out in the stores, but I don't know what they do in the game.
Yeah.
Splatoon just came out on Friday.
Yes.
I guess some people were buying the amiibos and not the game. They're just amiibo collectors.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like Splatoon's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I really want to play that game.
Yeah.
I would probably buy a system for that one.
Yeah.
On a good sale.
Yeah, I'm like, like, Smash is on sale this week at Best Buy, and I was like, I don't own that game for Wii U yet.
Huh. Yeah.
It is like, right now I'm witching.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I think I'm probably going to be witching for a good long time.
We'll see after the Steam sale.
That too.
How loaded I am.
Yeah, but Splatoon seems cool. Hopefully that will stay something that people play.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Nintendo seems pretty
good. Heard lots of good things about it.
It seems their intent is for that game to have a long tail. Especially, thankfully, like, seeing how critics are responding to it now, I think the prognosis is good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess one of the big news points was, as we alluded to a couple times, was the Bloodstained Kickstarter
for the
Koji Igarashi new Castlevania-ish game, also being made with Inti Systems, the company that made
Intercreates.
By Number 9. Intercreates, thank you.
Yep.
They did a Kickstarter, which... You know, raised a shitload of money. And,
so fast.
Yeah. And that game will be coming out in 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, it got my money.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the game is way more expensive than the amount of money I put in, of course. Because that's kind of the thing with it being 2 years away. I'm just like, okay, the digital version is probably going to be more than $30 when it comes out in 2 years.
Well, maybe. So, I don't know.
Maybe. If not, whatever. I just want to see what he does, not constrained by Konami at this point. Like, that's kind of the big reason I wanted to support it. But should be cool. Dale's in there for the... He was one of the Stretch Goals musicians.
Oh, really?
Oh, you missed that?
No, I missed that.
Or not Dale, Vert.
I saw Vert. I was about to say. Like, yeah,
no,
I knew
Dale's,
Vert was
Dale's
in there.
Dale's Kickstarter's ending today or yesterday.
Dale is another Kickstarter that he was involved with.
Wanderer, the...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Something, something. That game also looked cool.
Yeah, I was just hoping there would be that. Like a little bit more than just the concept art for Bloodstained. There just really wasn't like a lot. And like, I'm super wary of Kickstarters because of Mighty No. 9. sometimes like, I really takes another level for me to get sold. And I like, honestly, it's kind of the same thing as Mighty No. 9 in a way.
Sure. There's a lot of comparisons. And that, to be made.
Well, yeah, the same company, the same like, okay, we're going to set a very low goal to reach because we already actually have money coming from somewhere else. We're just, it's just the Kickstarter just becomes part of the marketing for the game, really, and that, like, we're going to get all these people, I don't want to say roped in,
right?
But we're going to get all these people involved and invested in the game, like, right off the bat, so they'll be following it and talking about it, and, like, all those sub-goals they had, like, associated with tweeting and following. I was like, that's, what the fuck is all that?
Well, I mean, like, you know, I didn't read into all that stuff. I thought that was clever. I didn't think that that was a bad thing. I just thought it was like,
it's just,
it was so overt that it wasn't like they were trying to pull the wool over my eyes for those. It's, they were trying to make an achievement system out of, you know, however many
social
people
media
tweet this.
Posting pictures and sharing blah, blah, blah.
And there's been a lot of talk lately about Kickstarter games that already have significant backing, and the Kickstarter is mostly just to demonstrate to their investors that they. But is it me
like that,
or
and
does
Ukulele
it,
like back to back?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, Ukulele. Well, there you go. I was just going to ask, is it more a Japanese developer thing?
Mm.
Because like, is that just sort of the way Japanese businesses do business? But obviously Ukulele, that's a UK based.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ukulele asked for even less money than Bloodstained to prove its viability. Yeah. And it's just a weird thing.
It is.
I just,
it's a new way to take pre-orders.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a pre-order.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is.
Yep.
And you don't have to deal with fucking
GameStop.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's an improvement, I guess.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Well, of course, if the game doesn't come through, you can't get your money back.
Right.
Like you go to GameStop. Still not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying the Bloodstain's not going to fucking come out.
I still haven't been dicked by a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding.
Me neither. I don't think.
Yeah. Waiting for River City, but
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I get their updates every now and then.
Yeah. No, I do too. I think it goes in my spam filter, but
yeah, they're pretty quiet compared to some.
That's why.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode.
Well, oh yeah.
2 hours.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yep. Can I do a quick plug?
Oh yeah.
For a plug for a live appearance.
Dave Ottavino.
Dave Ottavino. So Buffalo Game Space is a game developers collective in Buffalo, New York. And tentatively, it's not like on the books yet, but tentatively on Tuesday, the evening of Tuesday, June 9th at 7 p.m., I will be assisting Breslin Studios, who is they're a Buffalo-based localization team. They recently worked on Magicka 2. They localized the script and produced the voiceover audio for that game. And so they're giving a workshop about recording techniques, and I am going to be there to help demonstrate recording and doing voices and Buffalo area game devs and people interested in making games. So if you live in the Buffalo area and you are interested in making games, you want to learn more about the audio side of that, come to the Tri-Main building, Buffalo Game Space, on Tuesday, June 9th, and see me and learn a thing or two about recording.
You mean to go do a thing?
I'll probably go see you, Dave, because Tuesdays I have off.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah.
If that check BuffaloGameSpace.com to see if that date, because that date is tentative right now. But
yeah, I've been meaning to. The problem is, the last time there was a big party, that was your big party before the kid.
Right, right, right.
And then the next big thing they're doing is Death's party. So, like, because Dan Cannon's been down there.
Yeah,
a few
he's
times.
Right on the. It's a big photo of him right on the main page.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Support that shit.
Woo. All right, and that's gonna do it. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Thanks.
Catch y'all later.
Yeah. Bye.